Welcome to the Get Out With God podcast. I'm Rick.
And I'm Christine Ingram, and we are the co-founders of the Viking and the Lioness Ministries.
The purpose of our ministry is to encourage people to get out with God so that they can heal, become whole, and live well, spirit, soul, and body.
And we hope that this podcast blesses you with the word of the Lord and serves as bite-sized encouragement as you clear the clutter, quiet the noise, and draw closer in your relationship with the Lord. Brothers and sisters, and welcome to day 20 of our journey with Jesus, a Lenten reflection. We are halfway there.
We are.
I don't know where there is, but we're halfway there.
To the 40 days.
Yes, that's true. So before we get started, I'd like to invite you to check in the description to download the two items that are there if you haven't already done so. The first is the calendar for the whole Lenten journey, and it has links to all of the scriptures that we're discussing. The second is a study guide, and it just dives a little deeper into what we discuss each day, and it's updated daily. So please take a peek if you haven't already done so. With that, my wonderful husband, would you read the scripture for us today?
I would love to.
Thank you.
Today's scripture comes out of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. We're going to read from the NIV version, and it says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved."
So good.
Yes. And while Ephesians isn't my favorite book,
ooh, I like it.
It's way up there at the top of books that I really like. And you know one of the things that's real important to me in Ephesians? Is the tense of the verbs that Paul uses. Next time you read Ephesians, pay attention to the tenses of the verbs that Paul uses. And even in this passage, you'll notice a few.
Okay. My favorite is love and respect portion, but that we're not talking about that tonight. So.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's Ephesians 5.
It's wonderful. But, So we digress.
We digress.
And this is a very, kind of stresses me out.
Why?
Just because it's all wonderful, but I'm learning it. Uh-huh. The difference between grace and mercy. And yes. I think it can be very confusing.
Well, just think of it like the cross.
Okay.
The cross is the central focus point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mercy is not getting everything that you deserve. That's on one side of the cross. The other side of the cross is in the future. From the cross forward, not only do you not get what you deserve in mercy, you get grace, which is getting everything that you don't deserve.
Mm. And I think the example that we used in the study guide makes it real for me.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it...
Oh, the employer? Yes.
Yeah, where it talks about, you know, if someone was stealing from their employer and the employer finds out, and instead of calling the police and pressing charges, they continue to let you work and give you a promotion.
That's mercy.
That would be mercy all day long. And grace, yes. And then getting the promotion
would be grace.
But
you
not
don't deserve it.
But not going to jail would be mercy. Because you deserved
to go to jail. You deserved to go to jail, yes. But you didn't get that.
Yep, and the slate is wiped clean, so that's...
Oh yeah. It's absolutely astounding that with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, what he has purchased for us. And the more you study the New Testament, the new covenant that he brought in for us, and all of the benefits that that gives us, is all by God's grace.
Mm.
We didn't deserve any of it, and yet here we are, and he has dropped it all on our lap.
Grace abounds.
Grace abounds.
I just think about my life.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think about that all the times? Like, oh my goodness.
Oh yeah.
Like what? How? What? Okay. But then I'm like, I'm not worthy of that. So I go to that place too. And the enemy starts going, you're not worthy. You're not worthy. God's going to leave you. God's not going to do that. God's going to punish you. And so sometimes that goes around in my head when I have a misstep or...
And that's where grace comes in. So important. You know what my response is when the enemy says that? I agree with him.
Yeah.
I say, you're absolutely right.
I'm a sinner.
I don't deserve any of it. Thank God for his grace, because he gave it to me anyway. And you're not going to take it from me.
I like that.
So bug off, Satan.
So neener, neener.
And
no, I don't want to taunt the enemy.
No.
I don't need to do that. But
that's the appropriate response, because it's the truth. We didn't deserve it. And yet he gave it to us anyway because of his great grace.
Yep.
Mercy was the cross and taking away everything that we deserve, taking it for us. And grace was what he gave us after the cross.
Mm. That's a good way to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
When I read through, I'm like, okay, chicken, egg. Like, which is...
Yes, definitely the mercy came before the grace.
Which is which, yeah.
So. And legally it had to, because... He had to break the curse.
Mm.
And that's the mercy. And I have to point this out. You know this.
Okay, go ahead.
Notice the tenses of these
verbs.
Here
we
go. It's super important in Ephesians, because Paul does everything in the past tense. And when you know the Greek, there's the aorist tense, which is the perfect, complete. So present tense is like right now and ongoing. Past tense is it happened before. But the past perfect tense is the aorist tense, which means it happened once forever.
Mm.
And that's the tense that Paul used in the Greek. And he says, God made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. And then he says, it is by grace that you have been saved.
Mm.
And that's the past present, or past perfect, the aorist tense, which means it's a done deal. There's no going back. You have been saved.
That's good.
Read the rest of Ephesians that way and pay attention to those things. Ooh, good stuff.
It's really good.
Yeah. You know, we've been talking about feeling worthy to receive God's grace and mercy. Humility is another thing. In the daily download, we talk about humility, and we talk about that word in the sense of being humble is something that you do for yourself or to yourself. Humiliation is when somebody else does it to you. And what does that mean? Being humble just means valuing what somebody says over what you think. That's true humility. Does that make sense?
It does, but I guess I would question the person saying it and what they're saying. So if it's God, then I get it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's someone else saying it and it's not, what if it's not kind?
Exactly.
And then someone says something.
Mm-hmm. Do you take it personal when somebody says something unkind? Then that is humiliation.
Right.
If you do it yourself, if you lower your opinion below somebody else's and give their opinion or their words or their thoughts higher priority than your own, if you do that, that's humility. If somebody else does that to you, that's humiliation.
Hmm.
And what does God say? He says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So you have to choose to place his word and his opinion
over your agenda, over your...
over your opinion of yourself.
Or what he should do for you.
Or over, yes, over your desires for yourself and over the words that you speak about yourself. That's humility. And it takes humility to be able to receive God's mercy and his grace. Because you know you don't deserve it, right? You know that. And yet he says, I'm giving it to you. Take it. So you have to value his gift over your own thoughts of knowing that you don't deserve it. It's a good principle to have when you're reading the word. His word is always over and above. It is the final authority. Not your own opinion, not your own thoughts about it, but what he said is the final authority. And so that is a...
not someone in the four walls and under the steeple.
Yeah, and not what somebody else said about what he said.
Their interpretation. Not yeah. Their interpretation.
So humility is super important, and being humble when you're reading the word. And it's super important when you're trying to process and understand the grace and the mercy of God.
And when you're in the, when you're allowing the Spirit, Holy Spirit to flow, then
yeah,
if you're in that space and not in the flesh, mm-hmm. and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to just come in and take over in those moments, then it's, I'm using air quotes, no one can see that. It's easy. It's easier, I think, if you can move into that space and just allow the Holy Spirit to take over.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. He is our intercessor.
Because you're not fighting it. Because mm-hmm. we all have those prideful moments and, oh I know better. I know what I should have, God. I know this would be good for me.
Yes.
More money would be good for me. More this would be good for me. More whatever. That person, I know we talked a lot, you know, during this recording. It was our anniversary. It'll always be anniversary during Lent. And there were a lot of people that said, well, I don't know if it's for me. Or I don't know why he's taking so long. Or I don't know. You give me hope is a lot of things that they said. Mm-hmm. But there was that doubt, even though, and they were using the word hope in the way that it was doubtful. It mm-hmm. wasn't...
not biblical hope.
Exactly. And...
we'll have to have that discussion someday.
Yes.
Because that's a good one.
Yes. But in that, in those moments, I think back when I did that very thing. I wasn't humbling myself. I mean, until I surrendered, and then you popped into my life a month later. But it was a fight. I was behind that buggy and the horse, and I was getting drugged. Not by, that wasn't God, but it was my own. I wouldn't get in the cart and get along on God's path. I just kept trying to do it myself, and it was such a struggle. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I'm like, okay, fine, I'll get in the cart and not be behind the horse.
And even in the, even taking it into the present, you know, one of the things that you and I, we talk about all the time is wanting to know the next steps and the next plans for the ministry and where are we going to go with this and where is it going to do and, you know, how is it going to end up and why doesn't the Lord just show us that?
Why doesn't he unfreeze the pipes in the...
exactly.
Winter.
All of the things, all of the struggles, you know, why? It's hard. Why? But we just have to trust and know that his knowledge of what's coming is not something that we can handle right now.
Yeah. And
he doesn't share it with us for our good.
No. And then all of a sudden it's, boom, here you go. We're like, whoa. You know who's amazing? It's your parents. I have the best in-laws ever, and they are so encouraging, so motivating, so inspiring to me. And when there's a tough moment, they're like, well, we'll just see what God has in store. And they're so gleeful about it. And I'm like, gritting my teeth, and they're like cheerful, and they move on to the next thing. And
well, one of the things that, you know, they have yeah. that we don't. Is decades more experience of seeing how God works and works everything out.
It's very good. So if you don't have a mentor like that, I encourage you to
get one.
Get one, because I look at your mom, I'm like, man.
Learn from them.
She is grace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's grace.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yep. We ramble on. So why don't we just wrap this up with you praying us out today?
Okay, but before I do,
mm-hmm.
I know I've shared that I struggle with praying out loud. And I know you put your four fingers up and tell me to get out of my flesh when I do that, because it's the enemy coming in and giving me doubt. But I was on a call today and they shared the Lord's Prayer. And I thought, oh my goodness, that's such a good prayer as a go-to, if you will, when I don't know what to pray. Because that is the prayer that Jesus taught the apostles and said, this is how you shall pray.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it would be good because I can't be the only one that struggles in prayer. And
well, yeah. And I mean, it's just horrible to do what Jesus said, right?
Right. So I thought it would be good to share it. I know there are different versions depending on what church or how your upbringing. But I'm going to read out of the New King James Version because the NIV alters it a little bit about from the way that I learned it. So I thought we'd go old school a little bit here.
New King James is old school?
Well, I could do the other, but then it would be art and thou and a lot more of that. Then.
Yes. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
I kid.
Okay.
Pray us out, baby.
Okay. Jesus says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Amen.
Mm. Isn't that good?
I love it.
Yeah. So if you don't know what to pray,
yeah,
but you want to pray out loud.
Can't go wrong with praying that.
Yeah.
Just keep it conversational. You're just talking to God.
Yeah. And he will give you grace.
And who better to teach you how to talk to God than Jesus?
Yep.
Amen. Well, let's leave him with some perfect peace, shall we?
Yes, sir.
Shalom,
shalom, shalom.
And we will see you next time.
We love you.